And now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Roland. The program is called Shedding Shackles. Yes, we want to shed the shackles of the past. I began the program last week by reading a beautiful passage from the Sermon on the Mount. And I'd like to read one verse. And from that one verse, if you have an ear to hear and you grasp the meaning of it, you might turn your whole life around. When Jesus saw the crowds, he ascended the mount, and when he was seated, his disciples drew near to him. He began speaking and teaching them, and he said, "A heavenly attitude is theirs, those whose home is in the Spirit. Theirs is a heavenly state." Now, I want to talk about that. A heavenly state. Those who are in the Spirit. And the Aramaic word is ruka. And I said last week that ruka means force. It means wind. But it also means breath. Those who are in the Spirit. Now, most people are not in the Spirit. And the reason they're not in the Spirit is because their home is in their imagination. Their home is in their visualizations. Their home is in their emotions, in their passions, in their excitements, in their resentments, in their false hopes. That's right. Their home is in judging other people, secretly judging other people. And their home is in all of the issues that develop through their wrong living. That's where their home is. And then they hide in the imagination and the Spirit that talks to man and woman in the imagination. That Spirit then comforts and consoles them, but also torments them with more challenges, more pressures, more teases, more taunts. What if this? What if that? What if this? What if that? More wrong ideas. And they follow that Spirit. They follow that unholy Spirit talks to them through their mind. And they follow it thinking it's their very own thinking. But Christ talked about the kingdom of God and about a person being blessed whose home is in Ruka. So I think it's a very beautiful verse. And the question is, why is it that so few people find it? Well, the reason is, first of all, you have to be sincere. And sincere doesn't mean that you're a nice person or that you act nice. What sincere means is that somehow deep in your heart, you yearn for the truth and love the truth. And when you hear the truth, you're willing to accept it. But the truth that none of us want to hear is about our own wrong. See, we don't mind hearing the truth when it comes to someone else. But when it comes to our own wrong, we don't want to hear it. We want to think of ourselves as being wonderful and being nice and being good and being hard done by. And we want to blame others. We always want to blame someone else. And by blaming others and resenting others, we focus the attention upon them and we don't have to look at ourselves. So as long as you have that kind of an attitude, then it precludes finding the kingdom of God. That's right. Now, what you need to do, what you must do, is yearn with all your heart for something good and something pure. And when you hear the truth, don't deny the truth when you hear it. But very few people even know what truth is. See, they're so misguided that they have no idea what the truth is. And so I guess there are people who love the truth deep down and some who don't. And those who love the truth will find it eventually. They will. They'll make a lot of mistakes. They'll do some dumb things. They'll become angry and resentful and all that. But something keeps calling them back. Something keeps calling them. And yes, they'll go to all different religious practices and different religions and different organizations and different groups and not take different courses, and they'll try everything. And yeah, they'll gather a few tidbits, useful tidbits, but they still won't have found the real thing. The thing. You have to find the real thing. You have to find the real thing. And when you find it, then your whole life will change for the better. When Jesus saw the crowds, he ascended the mount, and when he was seated, his disciples drew near to him, and he said, "A heavenly attitude is theirs, those whose home is in the Spirit. Theirs is a heavenly state." Hi, this is Roland. Just wanted to say hi to all the listeners in Northern California, beautiful Southland and Inland Empire, and all across the world on the internet. Welcome, all of you. I've got a lot of listeners now in Southern California, Banning, Redlands, San Bernardino, Lake Elsinore, Hemet, Corona, Riverside, Yucaipa, Temecula, Moreno Valley. Welcome, all. Heavenly state is being in the Spirit, Christ said, and they are blessed. So how do you get in the Spirit? Well, you have to become like you were when you were a little child. When you were a little child, you were very close to God. Charles Dickens, the great writer, you remember Charles Dickens. He wrote A Christmas Carol and A Tale of Two Cities and so on. He said, "I love the little people." And he said, "It is no small thing when they, who are still fresh from God, love us." Yes, the little people. Children are little people. And they're close to God. They're born close to God. And that's where we should be. Close to God, and then as life progresses, we grow closer. All of our discoveries, science and math, and about life, and about people, and about the beautiful earth upon which we live. All of the discoveries that we make us marvel at the Creator and at His truth. The beauty of His truth, the beauty of what's right, the beauty of justice, the beauty of innocence, and then the awfulness of error, the foolishness of error. We see the error in light of the truth, and we marvel at the wonderfulness of truth, and we marvel at how people stray from the truth and don't love the truth. We marvel. And when we see error and wrong, then we just want to draw closer to God. We want to draw closer. See, I remember I heard of a great army general, and they asked him, they said, "Have you ever been in danger of your life?" And he said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, what do you do?" He said, "Well, I don't know how to describe it, but I just sort of pull within. I draw within, and the danger passes, and I'm safe." The great mystics, St. John of the Cross, Teresa of Avila, Miguel Molinos, Madame Guillon, Thomas a Kempis, Brother Lawrence, they talked about recollecting oneself, drawing within, not into the imagination, no, but pulling back. You know, you sometimes hear about people who are in some kind of a danger to themselves, or physical danger or something. And they say that it was like they were watching a movie, like it was happening to someone else. Or they were standing back and they observed themselves there. Somehow their soul was safe. You see, it was drawn back. But you see, in life, what happens is that the teases and taunts on the outside, they tempt us to go, well, you know, like the Pied Piper. Remember? The children were safe at home in the fairy tale. They were safe at home with their parents. But the Pied Piper came, and they followed the Pied Piper. See, some people, they foolishly wander off. They wander off to the wrong part of town, or they wander after something, looking for adventure, looking for excitement, the mystique of adventure and danger, and they go wandering off. They reach for something they shouldn't reach for. They get too close to danger. You remember that nice man, the crocodile hunter? Do you remember him? He used to have a program, and he was swimming with some stingrays, and he got too close, and over the stingray, and the stingray was threatened. He got too close. He was pushing the envelope. But how many of us push the envelope? We drive too fast. We eat the wrong food. We smoke and we drink. We do the wrong things. We make boo-boos. And we're pushing the envelope. Now, what is it that's tempting us to push the envelope? Isn't it the invisible tempter who's always there, lurking in the foliage of your mind or in other people, beckoning you, calling you, teasing you, exhorting you, promising you some kind of excitement? Well, you have to learn to discern between the good spirit and the bad one. The bad one beckons you to error. The good spirit has you to hold back, to draw within, to let the temptation pass. Let the irritation pass. Let the anger pass. Take a step back. Take a step back and count to 10. The good spirit holds you back, restrains you. Other people rush into error, and you're safe because you didn't go. So the error lurks in other people, and it lurks in your mind. Lurks everywhere, beckoning you to error. Blessed is he, blessed is she, who can discern in the light of truth in which they stand. The light of truth in which they stand back and observe. They see the error. They see the wrong. They see something that's not quite right. And they don't go along. They demur. And they're safe. So, the problem, see, now, but what has happened to people? See, I could make 100 programs on this topic, and I want you just to grasp the basics of it. Remember I said that people are lured into the world, drawn into the world, tempted, teased, taunted, challenged, excitement. I'll never forget a lady I knew in Chicago. I'll never forget. I went to visit her in her high rise. I was looking for an apartment. I had just arrived, and the boss said that she had just arrived also and that I should go talk to her. She might be able to help me find one. And so I went to her, and she lived in this beautiful high rise. She was way up on one of the upper levels. She had a full glass wall window looking out over Lake Michigan, the beautiful twinkling lights of Chicago at night. And she said, "I'm not happy." I said, "Why not?" She said, when I was home in Missouri or Kansas or whatever, wherever she was from, a small town, she was happy. She was with her friends and her family, and where she loved being there, and she loved her job that she had. But they talked to her and said, "Oh, you're so capable. You're so smart. Why, you should go for this bigger job." And then she went to Chicago, and she wasn't happy. So that doesn't mean you can't go to Chicago and be happy. But it means that undoubtedly she made the wrong choice. See, she was lured by the temptation of ambition. It's okay to be industrious. It's okay to go for an opportunity, but not ambitiously. Industriously, but not ambitiously. See, there's a thin line. There's a razor's edge. And to discern the difference, see, you have to be in the spirit. So what I was going to say is that You see how people are lured down out into the world. And how are they lured into the world? You see people go to the wrong part of town and hang around with the wrong people and do the wrong things. And they're out of place. You know it's not good for them. Well, they're lured through their mind. So first they're lured into their mind. They're lured by the voice in their mind. They're lured by the images in their mind. They're lured into the imagination. They're lured down into the imagination. There they daydream about greatness and glory and excitement and pleasure and getting even with someone and whatever it is down there, whatever appeal works, that's what it is. And then the person through the mind then is lured to do the wrong thing in reality. It comes through the mind. And then after they've erred and made mistakes and messed everything up, then they hide in their imagination for security and for safety. And to hide from but hide from what? Hide from the truth, hide from reality. So first it's through the imagination that they're lured to do error. And then they go back to the imagination for comfort and solace and reassurance and to take away the pain of reality. So pull back. You have to find a way to pull back from the imagination and just observe thought as thought without being involved in the thought, without being lost in the thought, without being too close to the thought. See, you pull back, you recollect, like the great mystics, Teresa of Avila and St. John of the Cross. And I have a little meditation that shows you a very simple technique for becoming still, learning to stand back from the emotions and the imagination and the squirrel cage of thought. Rise above them, and you have a little space. You're actually outside of time. You have a little space. Elie Wiesel talked about that little space. Or was it Dr. Viktor Frankl? That's it. Dr. Viktor Frankl talked about that little space. Before you act, you have a little space wherein is freedom. You must find that little space. And the meditation that I have a free version. A free version, you can get it for free. It will help you to find that space wherein you can be close to the kingdom of God. And you'll be able to quietly let the danger pass, the temptation pass, the tease, the taunts, the lies, the falsity. Let them pass, and you'll be safe. Did you know that my most popular book is The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage? A spiritual and practical look at relationships. My favorite chapter is How to Forgive and Forget. The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Check it out at Amazon.com or SheddingShackles.com.
Are you experiencing stress, anxiety, or unhappiness? Do you feel weighed down by the past? Stay tuned for a special message from Roland Trujillo, host of the Shedding Shackles radio program. For over 25 years, Roland Trujillo has been helping people shed the shackles of unhappy memories consisting of upset, hurt feelings, and negative emotions that bind them to the past. Over the years, many people have listened to and benefited from Roland's positive message. Perhaps you too can discover the secret to becoming free from the past and moving forward to live a new life of joy and purpose. And now, here's your Shedding Shackles host, Roland Trujillo.
Yes, that's a very good little announcement. Are you experiencing stress, upset? Are you weighed down by the past? Well, then the question is, why? Why are you experiencing them? It's because something is having an effect upon you. Something is pressuring you from the outside. If you were in the Spirit, Christ said, blessed are they who are in the Spirit. Theirs is a heavenly state. If you were in the Spirit, things on the outside wouldn't affect you. You would see them. You would hear them. But they wouldn't bother you. They wouldn't elicit a response, a reaction. I was watching a video yesterday, a little bit of it. It was about breathing. And the man was saying that, he was saying, people today have labored breath. They breathe in a labored way because of the effect upon them of modern civilization, all, you know, around them. The pressures change our breathing. And so if you are stressed, if you are angry, if you are upset and so on, you're being affected by the outside. The outside is having more effect upon you than your Creator. If you could refind the kingdom of, if you could find the kingdom of God, Christ said, he said it's all around you and it's within you, yet you don't even see it. The kingdom of God is all around you and it's within you. And if you found it, if you could become still, it says, the beautiful, beautiful passage in the Old Testament said, and it's God speaking through his prophet, God said, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that God is God. And know means to become intimately acquainted with, to experience God. Be still and experience God. And know that you're not God. Okay? As long as you play God, that's right. As long as you want to make things happen and you want to make an impression upon people and you want to look good in other people's eyes and you want to pressure your kids and make them conform and you want to somehow manipulate your husband or you're playing God. And as long as you secretly judge people, secretly judge them. On the surface, smiling, but underneath, judging them. Then you will not know God. Doesn't matter how many nice verses you read or how many nice songs you sing, you won't know God because you're playing God. So you have to stop playing God. See, how many parents have ruined their kids with their manipulations? How many people have gotten divorced because they couldn't stop judging? See, if you want to know God, you have to stop playing God. So now you understand the exchange process. You have to give up playing God. Give up your judgments. Give up your unforgiveness. Give up your grudges. Give up your resentments. And then there will be space for you to know God and live in his kingdom. Are you interested in improving your relationship with your partner? Or how about improving your relationship with your kids if communication is not so good? Okay, and then how about getting rid of hurt feelings and misunderstandings and so on? Well, then you really ought to read one of my books about relationships and about marriage. And one of the ones that I don't talk about a lot, I should talk about more, is my book called Putting the Forever Back in Love. Oh, what a wonderful book. It's over 300 pages, Putting the Forever Back in Love. I talk about how to improve your relationship, what to do if your wife asks you to leave, how to forgive and forget, okay? How to stay married for a long time and live happily ever after, how to develop character and learn to bear suffering and grow from it, okay? And how to have understanding when you deal with other people, okay? And how not to judge your husband so much and how not to resent your wife. Well, may I recommend you get Putting the Forever Back in Love. Just visit SheddingShackles.com or TalkToAPastor.org and you can preview it for free. It's also on Amazon. Putting the Forever Back in Love. I think you'll really enjoy it. When Jesus saw the crowds, he ascended the mount, and when he was seated, his disciples drew near to him, and he said, a heavenly attitude is theirs, those whose home is in the Spirit, theirs is a heavenly state. A heavenly attitude is theirs. Those mourning their wrongs, they shall be comforted. A heavenly attitude is theirs. Those with humility, they will gain the earth. A heavenly attitude is theirs. Those who hunger and thirst for justness, they shall attain it. A heavenly attitude is theirs. Those whose love is without conditions, they will therefore receive unconditional love. A heavenly attitude is theirs. Those without fault in their minds, they will see God. A heavenly attitude is theirs. Those serving the peace of God, they will be called the children of God. If you hear something here that you've always yearned to hear, well, then the next step would be to get the meditation. Because it's so simple, but so important, because most people are lost between their ears. Most people are lost in worries, doubts, and fears, and all kinds of emotions, and upsets, and worries. And so, be nice to come out of that. Come back to the present where the birds are singing. So, go to SheddingShackles.com. And look for the free meditation. Could do you a world of good. You must find the way to become still and experience God. To sit quietly and hear the sound of the birds, noises outside. See the little pixels of light on the inside of your eyelids with your eyes closed, sitting quietly, not lost in thought. And you will be in the moment, and you will be close to the kingdom of God. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Shedding Shackles with your host, Roland Trujillo. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.sheddingshackles.com. You'll find lots of free, helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is SheddingShackles.com. Please remember that Shedding Shackles is listener-supported. Thank you.